Okay, good evening everybody, and thank you again for accommodating the constant changing times of this Thursday evening shiur. Tonight, as always, we will ask two questions, two shilas that came up over the past week, and you'll let me know which one you would like to discuss. So I received the following shila from someone who helps to run a modern Orthodox co-ed camp, and he was doing planning for the summer, for different trips, for the boys' division, the girls' division, and he came up with the following shila. He said, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi, I was wondering if you had any makoros or resources on tznius in front of goyim. A question arose for this coming summer regarding a trip for women to a water park with non-Jewish male lifeguards. Just curious if there may be a svara to say that they aren't being machshil anyone else, and therefore might be mutter. It obviously doesn't take the other, more inner aspects of tznius into account. Okay, so that is shaila number one. Can he run a trip where they're going to rent out the whole water park, let's say, for the girls in the camp, but the water park employs lifeguards, and they're not willing to fire all the male lifeguards for the day, even though they are willing to rent out the water park. So the lifeguards are not going to be Jewish, whether that is permissible. That is shaila number one. Shaila number two, a friend of mine who made Aliyah a while back texted me last week, Erev Shabbos, and it must have been like right before Shabbos in Modi'in, where he lives, and he told me that he sounded somewhat traumatized. He sent me a voice note, and he said that his dog had just bit a bird, and the bird had one wing bitten off, pretty much, was no longer able to fly, but was still very much alive. And he wanted to know, what do I do? He, it seems that the bird is suffering. Is there anything that he's supposed to do with that bird? Can he let the bird suffer? He was not very keen on killing the bird. And in his words, I've never killed anything in my life, which I was very happy to hear, that he's never killed things. But he wanted to know whether he has any obligation to either kill the bird, let the bird go, or just leave it be. So those are the two shilas. So again, shila number one, and everyone should feel free to vote in the chat. Shila number one: can you run a trip for young women in camp to a water park where there will be male lifeguards who are not Jewish? And shila number two: what do you do with the bird that your dog just bit, other than get rid of your dog? But what do you do with the bird that your dog just bit? So that is shaila number two. Okay, we have a few votes coming in. Unless there's a major comeback, it looks like it's going to... Okay, it looks like it's shaila number one. Okay, so let's get started with shaila number one. Unanimous. Okay, no one cares about the guy's dog that bit the bird. Okay, so let's discuss shaila number one. This is obviously very no gay lamai, so it comes up in a number of different contexts, and also is just an interesting discussion in terms of the isser of Shmiras Hayinayim and the isser of and the inyanim of tznius, as Henry just put in the chat. Is tznius about others, or is tznius about oneself? And the answer might be yes, right? Meaning it might be both, or it might be one or the other. So let's take a look. First of all, just in general, the issur of a man seeing a woman who is not appropriately dressed is not just an issur. It is likely multiple isurim. That all averos, one is more likely to do an avera when he has seen the avera and thought about the avera. It's true, one is more likely to do an avera when one has had exposure to the avera, and therefore it is a bad idea to provide an audience for averos. For example, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that if there's going to be a bris on Shabbos where there's going to be a lot of chil Shabbos, it's just a bad idea to be there, to provide an audience for an avera. That itself is a chil Hashem for people to get together and look and observe chil Shabbos. So that's true of all averos, to be exposed to think about the avera. But when it comes to arayos, when it comes to sexual immorality, the very idea of thinking about and viewing inappropriate material is itself an isser. And there are really two separate psukim that Chazal use to teach the isser of thinking about arayos. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Beis and Beis understands the pasuk lo sasuru achrei einechem to be an expression of the isser to think about arayos. Rashi on the pasuk comments that you could trace the stages of the development of avera, that the eye sees, the heart desires, and then the body commits commits the sin. That's how it works. So the Isra, follow of Lo Sasura, Achrei Einechem, refers to the desires that naturally follow inappropriate visual content and precede a physical violation of an Avera. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Mem Vav Amid Aleph, relates the Isra to think about Arayos to a different Pasuk. Pasuk in Dvarim Chav Gimel, V'nishmarta Mikol Davar Ra, that you have to guard ourselves from all Davar Ra, and the Gemara understands that that's about guarding ourselves from having illicit thoughts that will lead a person to become a Balkari at night. That a person is going to be Maharer Biyom, and he's going to be Mevili Dekari Balayla. So the Gemara Nevel Dazar Dav Chav expands that Isser to include even gazing at women, watching animals mate, and gazing at women's clothing, even if the women aren't wearing them. The Gemara Nevel Dazar Dav Chav says, if that's what's going to give a person Hirhurim, that too would be Asir. Rav Chaim Eizer and Achiezer Chela Gimel Simin Chavdalid Oz Hei suggest that the Rambam doesn't view this as a real drasha d'oraisa, that it's just an asmachta, that v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, it's quite a stretch, it's quite a leap to say that that means that on a d'oraisa level, that means that a person is not allowed to have hirhurim. So the Rav Chaim Eizer thinks it must be that it's only an asmachta, that is not a genuine drasha d'oraisa. However, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's a drasha d'oraisa. Tosus and Avodazar Dav Chav certainly understands that it's a drasha d'oraisa. So the Achronim discuss, where did the Gemara get that idea from? Meaning the Pasuk just says, "Nishmarta mikol davar ra." So I could think of a lot of bad things. How do you know that it means having yerurim that are going to be maybe they carry davar ra? Davar ra just means bad stuff. So Rav Yosef Engel in the Gilyonei Hashas and Maseches Ksuvos explains that the word davar may be understood to refer to dibur, that it's speech, and kol davar means something that's even beyond dibur. So what is even less than dibur? We must be talking about something that not only is not an action, it's just a dibur, but even less than a dibur. It's kol davar. It's anything. So that must be something that involves thoughts. Where do we ever have an avera that involves thoughts? Oh, it must be having hirhurim ra'im. Meshech Chachma in Dvarim Chav Gimel writes that the word ra is a reference to keri, when a person becoming a bal keri, to be motzi zera, because when discussing the sin of Erva Onan, Yehuda's sons who refused to impregnate Tamar, in the Torah specifically says that they did ra be'enei Hashem, ra. So v'nishmarta mikol davar ra. Be careful not to do what Aaron Onan did. So that's called Davara. So those are the two Isurim that we have over here. We have Lo Sasuru Achrei Nechem, and we have Nishmarta Mikol Davara. Now, considering the similarity between these two halachos that are derived from two separate psukim, again, you don't need to be the world's greatest brisker to realize that if there are two separate psukim, you probably have two separate dinim over here. That there must be more than just one particular halacha in play. So Rav Moshe, in a tshuva, it was Moshe of Nezer Chelek Aleph, Simen Samach Tes, discusses what exactly the two separate Yisurim, why exactly two separate Yisurim are necessary. And Rav Moshe writes an important chiddush. He writes that when the Shemata we call Davara is the Yisur to look at anything that will cause a person to become a Balkeri. Lo Sasura Achrei Einechem is the Yisur of thinking about an Avera that you might actually commit. In his Ha'aros to Maseches Ksubis and Daf Mem Vav, Rav Eliyashiv has a similar type of art, a similar chilik. That one is about having hirhurim that will bring about Balkeri, and the other is about thinking about an Avera that the person might follow through on. So Moshe writes, you know, it would follow that women are only included in one of these Yisurim and not the other. Meaning women are also not allowed to commit sins of Arayos, but there's no Isra of Zera Levatala, there's no becoming a Balkari for a woman, it's physically impossible. So a woman would be included in the Isra of Lo Sasura Achrei Einechem, but not included in the Isra of V'nishmarta Mikol Davara. So Rav Moshe writes that all of the halachos that the Gemara Nevel Dazar Dav Chav derived from Nishmarta Mikol Davara, watching animals mating, seeing clothing of people of the opposite gender when they're not wearing it, all of these do not inspire thoughts of committing the actual Avera, and therefore would be mutter for women to do. It would seem that according to Rav Moshe, a woman certainly should not be allowed to watch like totally explicit material, because it's likely to inspire her to sin in some manner, even if there's little chance that she'll have any contact with any of the actors in the movie or whatever. But that's Rav Moshe's analysis. In fact, it seems from a lot of places that women, you know, intuitively one would imagine that women are included in some sort of iser of this nature, but not the same as men. That it doesn't seem like they should be the same as men. In fact, the Rambam in the 21st paragraph of Hilchos Issurei Bia writes that the iser of having these kinds of thoughts, he just talks about the iser. He does not distinguish between men and women. The Rambam in Halacha Chaf Hei over there writes that someone should marry both his sons and his daughters off when they're young, so that they shouldn't come to immoral thoughts. Yet on the other hand, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf says that Rabbi Yochanan, who is an extraordinarily good-looking man, would sit at the entrance to the mikveh so that women would be able to gaze at him, to look at his beauty after they go to the mikveh, and that would somehow have a positive effect on their children. Well, why on earth are they allowed to do that? A man is not allowed to be mistakel afilu betz b'katana shalisha. Why is the woman allowed to go and stare at Rabbi Yochanan's beauty? The Gemara tells us about Shaul HaMelech, that women, when they would talk to him, would try to prolong the conversation so that they could stare at him because he was such a good-looking man. That seems totally inappropriate. Why are they allowed to look at him? So the impression that you get is that maybe it's not as bad for women to look at men as it is for men to look at women. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Ches says that women, that's the Gemara about the women speaking to Shaul. So according to Ramesh, you understand very well. Yes, there's an iser for women to look at certain things, but not at other things. It's not the same as a man's iser. So given that analysis, what's the problem with a non-Jew? Or is there a problem with a non-Jew? Here you have a number of women that are going to go to this water park. They're going to be dressed in, I assume, the kind of whatever bathing suits they would normally wear in a water park, whatever is considered proper attire for a water park, which is certainly not up to the standards of tzniyos that a person would go out in public with. But they're only going to be seen by each other and by a male lifeguard who is not Jewish. So what would the iser be? So is it an iser of Los Asuru that they're being machshil the lifeguard in Los Asuru achrei nechem? It seems pretty obvious. Los Asuru achrei nechem is not an iser for a non-Jew, so it doesn't seem that would be that they're being machshil him in that iser. So what else? That it's kirva la arayos? Is that what it is? V'neshmarta mikol davara, that it's going to be maybe li dekeri. So let's take that one as far. That will make him a balkeri. Does that apply to a non-Jew? Does a non-Jew have an iser of hotzas zera levatala? The Tosus in Sanhedrin daf nun tesam nebeis indicates that no, that that's only an iser for a Jew. There's no iser for a non-Jew. In fact, the Chavos Yoyer writes in the Tshuva that im ha'aral yehona umasbia yisro v'tavaso b'kach. Talking in a bit of a different context where there's actual physical contact between the non-Jewish man and the woman. He says, even if that Arel, referring to a non-Jew, is, I'm reminded of the Maisa, someone told me that Rabbi Schoenfeld told me that when he was younger, he used to go together with his father to do Mechiras Chametz with a much older Rav who only spoke Yiddish, and his father would be the translator also to the between the Nachri and the elderly Rav who only spoke Yiddish. So the Rav would say something like Zug der Uril, you know, go tell the Arel, and the non-Jew would say, what did he say? He said, tell the nice gentleman, you know, he took some liberties in translation of the Arel. But that's the way sometimes the poskim refer to a non-Jew and Arel, because the Gemara tells us it's not said as like a like a derogatory term. It's the reason they're referred to as an arel is because the Gemara says that even a non-Jew who has a bris is considered an arel. That arel is a generic term for someone who's not Jewish, for a man who's not Jewish. So anyway, so the Chavos Yoyer writes that even if he gets hana'ah and taiva from his contact with the Jewish woman, ein b'kach klum, doesn't really mean anything. On the other hand, we mentioned before that there were these gentlemen, Erva Onan, who were punished for being Mashlich their Zera and Eitzim Vavanim because they didn't want to ruin Tamar's beauty by impregnating her. So it seems that it seems like a problem for even a non-Jew. This is Koda Matan Torah, so they probably didn't have the status of Jewish people. Oh, that may enter into the conversation as to whether B'nai Yisrael, Koda Matan Torah, had the status of Yisrael, whether the Avos had the status of Jews or not. That's the famous essay of the Mishnah Lemelech in his Parashas Drachim, whether the Avos, Koda Matan Torah, had the status of Jews. Mishnah Lemelech comes to the conclusion that they themselves didn't know whether they had the status of Jews. They were a Safek Yehudi. It's such a good Shaila, even they didn't know the answer to the question. That's how the Mishnah Lemelech comes to the conclusion. The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Ches tells us that the primary sin of the Dor HaMabul was Sotzar Zeh Levetel. That was certainly non-Jews. And that leads the Mishnah Lemelech in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Melachim and the Ragged Shavar in Safnas Panei Achelik Alas Simon Lamed to believe that the Yisra of Sotzar Zeh Levetel in fact does apply to non-Jews. In the Stei Chemed in Mareches HaZayin Klal Chaf suggests that maybe this depends on whether Nakram are obligated in Pru Revu. That maybe Hotzah Zeh Levetel is a function of Pru Revu, and therefore if they're obligated in Pru Revu, then they're including the Yisra of Hotzah Zeh Levetel, but if they're Potter in Pru Revu, they're not including the Yisra of Hotzah Zeh Levetel, possibly. So that's as far as that is concerned. Is it being Machshil the guy in Los Asuru? Nachri is not included in the Yisra of Los Asuru. Is it being Machshil him in Hotzah Zeh Levetel? Because in to be called Davara, and it's going to cause him to become a Balkari, and it's going to be Zara Levatala, that might depend on whether a Nachri is obligated in Hotzah Zara Levatala. But over here, it's not even direct Hotzah Zara Levatala. The concern is not that he's going to be Motzi Zara there, it's just that he's going to see so much pretzels during the day that it's like a grumma of Hotzah Zara Levatala for later on. So for a Jew, we have a specific pasuk to tell me not to do that. To be called Davara. But for a Nachri, while even if he's obligated in Hotzah Zara Levatala, does that mean that he's included? The only other possibility is that it's Arayos, that any Korvala Arayos might be included in the Isurim of Arayos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Zayin and Beis tells us Ish ish l'rabus es akutim shemusharin al arayos ki Yisrael. That kutim are also musar in arayos. So from that perspective, to look at women who are not dressed appropriately is an abizrayu of arayos. We know that from the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin about the fellow who was lovesick for a particular woman and he needed to see her and he needed to be with her to save his life. And they said, the Chum said, no, it's Yarek Val Yavar. So then the doctor said, okay, maybe if you could just see her, if you could just see her dressed inappropriately, that would be enough. If she's Omedes Lefanov Aruma. So the Gemara says, no, that's also an Abizrayu of Gilei Arayos. So are Nachrim included? We know they're included in Arayos. Are they included in Abizrayu of Arayos? So in the Tshuvas Chaim V'Shalom, Chelgal V'Simentez Zayin, Rav Chaim Palagi derives that from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Bnei Noach are included in all Isuri Kirva, Nigia B'Darachiba, and the like. Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Kuf Peches seems to agree with that, but the simple reading of the Gemara seems to suggest otherwise. Seems to suggest, while Bnei Noach are forbidden from Arayos, the Harchakos of Arayos, the Abizrayus of Arayos, probably not. In fact, in Shuvas Chavis Yair, Simon Kuf Ches, he had a case of an Aniya, a Nara Aniya, a poor girl who was a young girl, and she had no money, so she needed to work. And she had this lovely older male employer who was a non-Jewish man, very non-threatening, but every once in a while he would give her a hug. Not in the Me Too generation or whatever, and that was like something that he would do, a genuinely appreciative hug or whatever it was. He would give her a hug once in a while, he was overcome with emotion or whatever. And she wanted to know, am I allowed to work in such an environment where every once in a while my non-Jewish male employer is going to give me a hug? And the Chavis Yair says, yes, you're allowed to, because you're not being machshil him in anything, because he has no isser In fact, Rav Baruch Frankel Tumim in his comments on the bottom of the Chavis Yair says she'ena nachri muzer al ze. So the Stei Chabad points out that not only does he agree with the Chavis Yair, but the entire Shaila only exists if you assume that shar kurvos are daraisa. If you assume that all of these other types of kurva are daraisa, meaning negiya b'derech taiva, is that an issa daraisa or an issa drabanan? Machlokas Rambam Ramban. But if you assume that it's an issa drabanan, if you assume that it's an issa drabanan, did the Rabbanan make the Isser for Nachrim also? That's impossible, says the Stei Chabad. There's no way that the Rabbanan would have made the Isser a Nachrim. If it's an Isser Doraisa, you have what to discuss. Yesh Ladun, if it's an Isser Doraisa, does it include anyone who's obligated in Arayos, or does it only include Jewish people? Okay, so that is what to discuss. So bottom line is, we have three potential Isurim over here that you might be machshil the guy in. One is los asurim, but we said that's pasha, doesn't apply to non-Jews. Hotzaz el levatala machlokas, whether it applies to non-Jews, but even if it does, this isn't really being machshil min hotzaz el levatala, it's like a gram hotzaz el levatala. And then the third one is the kirval arayos, that may depend on whether those kurvos within the shita, that kirval arayos is the negiyah b'derech taiva, is an isidor reisa, so which is, by the way, how we Paskin within the Shita that it's an Issa Daraisa, so then Yesh Ladun whether Nachrim are included as well. One could argue over here, though, that there's really no Lifnei Iver, because whatever the Avera is, he could do the Avera without these women, meaning he has plenty of access to all sorts of inappropriate material, to all sorts of ways to do these kinds of Averos, and he could just go to the beach that day. He doesn't need to. He has plenty of access to all these kinds of things, and it could be that it's therefore only Misayeya. Now, when it comes to Lifnei Iver for Nachri, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav says explicitly that there's an Isser Daraisa of Lifnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol to give Eiver Menachai to a Nachri. But when it comes to Misayeya, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that there's no Misayeya to a Nachri, because Misayeya is based on Arvos. There's a famous Shitas Hashach in Yerodeya Simen Kuf Nun Aleph that even by a non-observant Jew, there's no Isser of Misayeya. But certainly for a Nachri, there's no Isser of Misayeya. So that's a discussion. When the person has access to the Isser, not this Isser in this exact form, but similar. He can get something similar somewhere else. Is that called Lifnei Iver, or is that called Misayeya? That seems to be a machlokas between the Ramah and the Gra in the beginning of Simen Kuf Nun Aleph. If let's say you're selling someone shatnez clothing, but he has access to buy shatnez clothing somewhere else, so is that called Lifnei Iver, or is that called Misayeya? That seems to be a machlokas haposkin. However, another reason why it might not be Lifnei Iver is because even though there might be an Isser for a non-Jew to have hirhurim of arayos and the like, considering the realities of society, it's unlikely that he'll be having hirhurim by seeing a bunch of women in what are, by secular standards, in all likelihood, extremely modest bathing suits, compared to the kinds of bathing suits he probably sees working as a lifeguard on a regular basis. And if that's the case, that by their standards, it's actually modest, so it could be that that's not going to likely cause him to, for example, the mashal, the post can discuss, is there an isra of kol isha in front of a nachri? A girl's camp is going on a trip somewhere, so all the girls want to sing on the bus. You know, the wheels on the bus go around, right? So they're going to sing they're going to sing the Kalawar songs, and they're going to sing on the, girls love to sing, right? So they're going to sing on the bus, but there's a male non-Jewish bus driver. So are they allowed to do that? Can they sing on the bus? So most of the poskim say, yeah, because it doesn't mean anything to him. He doesn't at all. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt has a chuv in Rivers of Ephraim Michael Case and Tafsad Yalif, like that. Now, it happens to be that this particular shaila about women swimming in front of a male lifeguard is an explicit tshuva in Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe actually discusses this exact shaila. This comes up in Evna Ezer, Chelek Dalet, Simen Samach Beis, Os Aleph. Rav Moshe was asked about women going swimming at an all-women's pool where there would be a non-Jewish man serving as a lifeguard. And Rav Moshe points out that there are two particular concerns to deal with. Concern number one is that it would seem that swimming in such an environment would be a violation of a woman's requirement to dress in a modest way. So Moshe points out that's not really a problem because a woman is not required to dress modestly in a place that's dedicated for the exclusive use of women. Now, although there will be one non-Jewish man present, the place is still defined as a women's pool, and it would therefore have the same halacha as one's own home. And Moshe implies, but doesn't explicitly say, that lechora two very important points, that a woman's requirement to dress bitznius in front of a man so that they not be aroused in any way only applies to a Jewish man, but not to a non-Jewish man, like we were just discussing. If the lifeguard were a Jew, it would definitely be usher for her to swim in front of him. If there were a problem of causing the non-Jew to see her in a bathing suit, then Ramesha wouldn't have a starting point to even discuss. But Ramesha seems to assume that there's no problem of being machshil, the non-Jew. And even if non-Jewish, if there's no Jewish man there to see a woman is not permitted to walk outside of her house dressed improperly. That's what Ramesha writes, that there's an issur of dressing improperly in an area that is not a private area, not inherently a private area. For instance, a woman vacationing in a remote location where she thinks the only non-Jew that only non-Jews will see her should not walk outside of her house dressed inappropriately, even though only non-Jews will see her. Because Ramesha seems to understand that the very nature of a public place would preclude a woman from being immodestly dressed. Because he emphasizes that it's dafka because it's a women's pool, which means that it's not a public place. It's a women's pool. But if it were a real public place, then even if the only people that are going to see her are non-Jewish men, if it were a real public place, even if non-Jewish, it would be asur. The second concern, Ramesha says, so he's not concerned about the fact that it's a violation of her obligation to dress theistic because it's a women's pool for that day. The second concern is that the lifeguard might entice one or more of the women to enter into an inappropriate relationship with him. Ramesha thinks that even though the issur of yichud generally does not apply when there are many people around, the Gemara says that if the people are prutzim, then there is a concern for yichud. Is there a bigger parutz than a guy who sits there watching women swimming all day? So it would seem that a non-Jew, a nachri, certainly has a status of prutzim. So Moshe says that in this context, though, there's little need for concern about that, because the lifeguard would lose his job if he were to ignore his responsibilities in order to engage in some sort of inappropriate behavior with one of the women, and he can get into serious trouble. What if another woman drowns while he's busy flirting with one of these women? He has to be on guard. He can't. So Ramesha doesn't think that this would be a problem. So Ramesha is actually makil in this exact shaila. However, one must add over here what Henry said at the beginning. What about a woman's own sense of tznius? Meaning, forgetting klape the fellow, klape the lifeguards. So what about her own sense of tznius? You know, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches tells us that the daughter of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion suffered the terrible fate of Leishev Bekuva Shel Zonos, that ultimately she was sent to a house of Zonos, because Pam Achas, one time, Rabbi Chanin ben Tradjan's daughter was walking in front of the Gedolei Romi. Amru kama naos psioseh shel riva zu, and she overheard them saying how beautiful she was. Miad diktika v'psioseha. So she right away started walking more carefully, strutting in such a way that drew attention to her, to make sure that she was walking in a way that she looked even more beautiful and more attractive. And so Rashi explains that's a violation of Kol Kvud Bas Melech Prima. What do you mean it's a violation of Kol Kvud Bas Melech Prima? It's in front of Gayim, it's Gedolei Romi. Yeah, but it's her own personal sense of tznius. So that is something that l'chora should have to be taken into account, particularly when you're running a camp for impressionable teens and preteens, children who you're not going to be able to explain the difference to. You know, people who already, you know, probably are coming from a background where the gedarim of tznius are not necessarily in perfect conformity to what the Torah says. That in all likelihood, in many l'da'avonenu, in many of these Orthodox summer camps, the gedarim of tznius are not what they should be. So you're going to tell a young girl, as you're trying to educate and you're trying to inspire a sense of proper avodas Hashem, proper tznius, yeah, don't worry, in front of Goyim, it's okay. You could do it. It's going to be very hard for them to be able to distinguish between the two. So I would take this tshuva of Rav Moshe, learn it very well, and then keep it in my back pocket, and maybe not share it in this circumstance. It's probably best to avoid such things. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful evening and a wonderful Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.